And Father, let the Holy Spirit have his way with each and every heart here. In Jesus' name, amen. You that have your Bibles, if you want to turn to the third chapter of Romans, the 9th verse. That's Romans 3:9. And I'll read. What then? This is to what all he has said before this about all men. The immoral man, the moral man, and the religious man. What then? Of course, he's talking about the Jews here. Are we better than the Gentiles? No, in no wise. For we, or what he's wrote here, and the Holy Ghost, and he will say over 19, every bit of the Old Testament, for we have before proved both Jews and Gentiles that they are all under sin. As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God. They are all gone out of the way. They are together become unprofitable. Get that word unprofitable again. We went over it in the moral man. He's unprofitable. The Jew was unprofitable, but yet it was profitable for him to have the law given unto him. It was an advantage in many, many ways. But it wasn't to anybody that didn't believe. It doesn't do you any good to sit here day after day and year after year and not believe what you hear. It's unprofitable. Or to God it is. And there is none that doeth good. No, not one. Their throat is an open sepulcher. With their tongues they have used deceit. The poison of asp is under their lips. And notice, and get this, that this is me, and this is you. God has put all man under his microscope. This is your heart. It's no different than anybody else's. He isn't reading here about somebody else. He's reading about you and me before we were saved. Whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their ways, and the way of peace have they not known. This is this last indictment. There is no fear of God before their eyes. Now you know when somebody doesn't fear God, they're dead. They're dead to reality. And you've met them. I've met them. And now we know that what things soever the law says, it says to them that are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped and all the world may become guilty before God. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified, not in our sight. We're so used to sinning, we were born in the playground of sin. We grew up in the playground of sin. And we look at each other, and as we went through, we measure according to the morals, the religion, or according to our clique. We play in that school. And most of them have no idea whatsoever that what they look like when God has put them under His microscope. They have no idea. But this is it. In His sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. The law never cleansed anybody from sin, nor did it make them a sinner. It just exposed what they were, more so, as we've read. Now, going back here to the 9th verse, it says, "What then? Are we better than they?" Now, what he's proved, he says, the Jews, the Holy Ghost has both proved that the Jews and the Gentiles are both just as much a sinner as anybody else is a sinner. And then he starts quoting Scripture. Now, to these Jews, this was to the Gentiles. These psalms here, written in the Psalms, you know, that you're quoting there, Paul, that is the Gentiles. That isn't us Jews. Well, I just read you, to you, that it was to all of them. And he lumps everybody, regardless whether they're a Gentile or whether they're a Jew. He says there in the 19th verse that it's the whole world. See? He's very clever. He's been talking about the Jew. He slowly went in the end of the second chapter to the Jew. And then he come out to the Jew and said the Jew rests in the law. What a thing to rest in. And then he was to the Jew. The 3rd verse was to the Jew because that's who he's talking about, is the Jew there. It's very definitely to the Jew. What if some did not believe? Shall their unbelief make the faith of God without effect? To those that believe, it works effectual. That's what he said. What if they did not believe he was the Messiah? And as my dad always used to say that, so what? And I can still hear him when he'd say it. So what? I'll tell you something. Ty back there had him say that to him. He got down here, he had Sunday school, and got stopped down there for a train. And he said, I called him. I said, "Brother Hill, there's a big train here stopped on the track, and I don't think I'm going to make it." And he said, "So what? What's a little train to the Lord?" And hung up. And he said, he no more hung up, and the train started moving. So what if some don't believe? Is God going to forfeit one of His promises? Because you don't believe, or I don't believe, He's going to have a bride. So what if you hear of somebody that's went off and said, that bride of Christ is nothing. That's a promise that is full of holes. So what? Did He send His Son at exactly the time that it was designated to send His Son? Did He back out and send any son? If there wouldn't have been one Jew that would have believed on Him, He'd have still sent him. You can bet everything you have that He will fulfill every promise He has made. So then He's saying that. He tells them, What then? Are we better than they? No, in no wise. He's proved this as he went through this condemnation. And as we said, there's some of you that haven't seen this. My dad went over it and over it. He would always take these five chairs here and go through this book of Romans, which is, by the way, most scholars say it's the most profound book ever written. And if you don't know what profound means, it means you'll never find another thing that is so deep, so glorious, and so explaining, and so much that you should know. We are studying the most profound book that was ever written. So, we have these people now in this condemnation chair. And I was in the gym talking to a young lady, and we got to talking about justification. And I said, you know, the late Brother Franklin, he wrote a tract on the relation to the law. And in that tract, he said, I dare say that there's not one out of 1,000 people that understand justification. If you that have read the tract, you know what he says here. So I went to my dad and I says, was he speaking about the people at Grace and Glory that he knew? Or was he speaking about out in the world? Because surely he hasn't met one in 1,000 that understand justification out there in that world. I never have met 10 that really understood justification. It's like Dad used to always say, when he would say this, about the farmer that was giving away chickens and the horses. He went to farms one after another. And if you said that the wife was the head of the family and she made the decisions, you got chickens. If you decided that the man was, you got a pair of working horses. And he'd gave away chickens for weeks. He finally got to this house that agreed that the father, the old man, when he said something, that was it. So I asked him, he says, now what pair do you want, the white or the black? He said, I'll take the black. The wife said, come here a minute, honey. Come back in a second. He says, you know, I decided to take the white. He says, no, you'll take the chickens. You see, you meet these people, and they say they understand justification. And then you get to talking to them about justification. And you find out that they still, they're sitting in this chair, but they still think they can go back to that chair. Or the only way to keep out of that chair is to get over here in this chair, and you can never get to this chair until you understand justification. You'll never get there. You'll be in this justification chair, but you'll never get over here. We're going to the next 11 verses. He starts with justification. And here I read that 28th verse to you. Therefore, we conclude that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law. I told you the Douay and the New Jerusalem, the Catholic Bible, they quote this word for word. But in their footnote, they say this absolutely cannot be true without the seven sacraments. You see, they do not understand justification. They do not believe 21 to 31. And, of course, then he'll get into the fourth and fifth, and he'll take two men and use them as an example. One before the law and one after the law. And he will explain imputation. And then he will explain impartation. Is not this the most profound book that was ever written? If you fully understand what he says here and believe, you can get up and get out of that chair. You understand justification. And once you really understand justification, there is nobody that's going to get you to not understand it. Once you really see this, why is it that you'll get a Baptist that understands justification? They'll swear to you they have eternal life. They'll swear to you that they know they're going to heaven. And somebody from the Assembly of God will get a hold of them. And they'll go there and they'll get filled with the Holy Ghost. And in 2 weeks they don't believe that they're saved for good. Why? They never did understand that chair. They only understood what their church was teaching. Is that what you people understand? Do you just understand that we teach eternal security? And surely we know. Why, the Catholics, they do the same thing. They leave it all, don't they, Larry, to the priest to take care of you. They say, you know, we're laymen. That isn't our business. Is that what you've done? You'll always be confused. Unless you really take and grasp 21 to 31. And then believe it. It's so. It's happened. It's said that first, it's a fact. You need a fact first. And then you have to have faith in the fact. And then when you get over and get in this chair, you're going to have some feeling. I had feeling when I got saved. I was sorry and everything. But it was no feeling like this chair. When I knew the fact and I had the faith, I memorized these words. Because I knew I had been, thought I'd been, Laurie, like you thought you was back over in that first chair. See? Fellowship instead of condemnation can really be mistaken. Especially if you don't understand these next 11 verses. And of course, 5. And he uses an example. As we, Lord willing, will get into. So what is this? This condemnation. He says it's written. There's none. 11th verse. There is none that understandeth. So first he goes to the thoughts. Do you realize how your thoughts are messed up? He dealt with the imagination of man. In the second chapter. The immoral man in his imagination. When God sent a flood, he says the imagination of man is continually evil. That's all he ever imagines. Now, of course, being brought, I was taught about a sanctified imagination. You've heard in this pulpit. I believe I have a sanctified imagination. And if you haven't got an imagination, you'd have to be an idiot. Because that's the way you have thoughts. But if you use all that imagination to be hooked up to this world, all that is a waste of time. You imagine day in, day out. You're not casting down imaginations. Foolish stuff. Where's a child? I did a lot of foolish imagination as a child. We all do it. But one day, you're not supposed to be a child. Because those things aren't going to happen. Like I said, the song that says imagination can make a rainy day sunny. No, it can't. It can't do it. See, you can sit around the rest of your days imagining. Now, it isn't wrong to imagine you're going to be in the bride of Christ, and you sure should be doing it. Because it's a promise that's possible. But for me to dream that I would have been someday playing for the Nuggets, sinner, do you see how short I am? But there's people that waste their time imagining stuff worse than that. He wants, and the only way I can begin to imagine is to get this word. Get the real facts. And then it says, you can imagine what he's got prepared for you. So thoughts. Here he says, there's not one that understands. Only thing they imagine is stupid stuff. Wasting their time day in, day out. When you could be meditating on this. We all do it. I catch myself even still. You know, boy. Huh? Wake up. You only got a little time to redeem the real thing. There's nothing wrong with imagining good things. See? Spiritual things. But these thoughts were what? So it's the thought, then he goes to the word and then the deed. Remember, all of Jesus' thoughts, of course his words and his deed, but God knew his thoughts. And he said, this is my beloved Son. For the first time, the entire fullness of the Spirit could come on a man and stay on a man. And there was no enmity between him, his thoughts, his words, and his deeds. They tried to catch things out of his mouth. They lied about his deeds. But even that thief had enough information to know he hadn't did anything. But here is this man. Here is what we are. Here is what we would be if we were to go to heaven. Here you have this man. His thoughts would be what? He doesn't seek after God in heaven. He'd be just like Adam hiding in his self-righteousness. He wouldn't be seeking after God because that's not what he wants to do. They are all gone out of the way and not profitable. There is none that doeth. And get this. I told you last time. I said this is the scripture. The dad, when he would always tell you about, I'd say to the Lord, didn't I do one good deed? What about my mother? All those deeds she was doing. And a woman that isn't even saved, that would have 9 kids. Isn't that a good deed? I give 50 cents to a religious thing. Was not that a good deed? That's what he thought of. And then he'd read this. And it says, there is none that doeth. And he said, if it would have said there's none that was good, I'd understand I wasn't good. When being a sinner, I couldn't be good. But he said, there's none that doeth. How horrible. See, you got to look at it as God looks at it. Of course, we want to do good things and are glad to the things that we consider good. Jesus has said, went about doing good. Adam, God didn't tell him to do something good. He told him not to do bad. See? In other words, this is the way that comes from her hand. It's impossible. So here's this guy. He's up in heaven. Unless he's born again, can't you see? He couldn't do one thing good in heaven. He's not capable of it. And then it goes to his throat and out of his heart. All this comes. Deceit. You get around them, they'll put their poison in you. Because that's what is in their heart. They'll get their fangs in you. Because that's what's in their heart. And out of the heart, the mouth speaks. What he's saying, a man that isn't born again cannot and will never understand, be able to do one good thing out of his mouth, nor be able to do one good deed. You got to be born again. That's what he told Nicodemus. Nicodemus said, how can these things be? He said, you're a leader and a ruler and a teacher of Israel. He was really up. And you don't know you have to be born again. That's all the Old Testament says, is you got to be born again. Job said it. David said it. Isaiah said it. That's what he told him. You can't get up to heaven unless you're born again. You'll never get there. And if you did, this is what you, in the 14th verse it says your mouth would be full of cursing. What do you think? You're going to dump it? How? Unless you could be changed. Can a leper change his spots? Huh? What's he saying? There is a way that man thinks, but the end of that's death. He thinks that if he's pretty good, the Muslims, you know, they think if they have more good deeds than bad deeds when they have to walk about over that line with the punishment, if they got more good deeds, they fall this way. If you got more bad deeds, you fall this way. It's all deeds. It's all works. Anywhere you go, it's all works. So he's saying that nobody ever had any good works. The rich young ruler, when Jesus told him, he says, what must I do? He said, good master, what must I do? And he says, calleth me good? There's only one that's good, and that's God. See, he wanted him to call him. He was good. He went about doing good. See, that's the way you were created. That's God's holiness, as our brother said this morning. That's the base of the whole thing. But you can't do it. Because your nature won't let you do it. If you're without Christ, you're lost. You could sit here a million years. And when it's over, as he brought out the basis of that throne, and he isn't giving it up to anybody, as he brought out, is that holiness. That's what secures you. And sooner or later, it has to act, or he's not holy. The whole thing, there's nothing to it if that's not so. But it is so. So you'll see that he'd be standing there just cursing. He wouldn't want to be in heaven. Like I told my wife about reading years ago, I says, about this guy we knew. I said, if he got to heaven, the first thing he'd do is start changing things at the gate. You know, like who was sitting there? Because this guy had to change things everywhere he went. He wasn't happy with anything. And that's how it would be. And then it says, their feet are swift to shed blood. Now, because their thoughts and their words and their deeds and what they are proves they're a sinner. So because of this, their feet are swift to shed blood. You don't think your feet aren't swift to shed blood? I've known of people that would kill you for a jacket, a sports jacket. They'd kill you. That's how swift they are. They'd kill you for a dollar. Kevin knows him down there, a guy that killed a guy at the bar because he didn't like what he looked like, Ron. And you know there's people that would kill you the way you look. Swift. See? So naturally it says the way of peace they don't know. You know how the way of peace they think is to get rid of all of us. That's what they think would be peace. If they could get us out of the schools, everything that we think and are brought up out of the schools. You see, my imagination has got to be controlled by the Holy Ghost. See, if the Holy Ghost is controlling my eyes, if I have dove's eyes, then I can read this and take it in. And that's what completely changes my imagination. I start imagining glory things, wonderful things. Well, these kids have got to face now everything opposite. It works on their imagination, the devil. Day in, day out. If you could just get rid of those real Christians. Well, we'll be gone soon. See? And they're not going to have any peace. They're going to think they're going to have peace at last with us gone. But the way of peace they do not know. Because these are people that are not born again. He's completely come up to this part. And it's a new heart. It's a new heart. It's a new heart. He said the Gentiles, they're born again, they got a new heart. And they just naturally do what you Jews can't do. They love one another. And the Jews don't love one another. If you've ever seen them fight over a dollar, you understand that. You see? And so the way of peace is a new heart. Isn't it? It was born again. It might take some time for you to realize these next 11 verses. Matter of fact, it took me a long time. And I read them, and I read them, and I read them. But I finally had to get down with the Holy Ghost and read them. And then those dove eyes. And then all that faith. It was a fact. I knew it was a fact. But only the Holy Ghost could cement that faith. And then I understood. And I understand justification, whether you think I do or not. I understand it. I said this morning, just as if you'd never sin. But next Sunday, maybe we will get into the justification at last. And we'll be done. Like we said, the last and final condition of these people, the unsaved man, is they're blind to reality. There's no fear of God before their eyes. Now we know what things soever the law says, it says to them who are under the law. Now, if they could have, a sinner could ever have done this, please God, and did this under the law, it would never have been any praise to God. You see, it says Abraham, we'll get over in this next chapter, it says Abraham staggered not at a promise of God, giving glory to God. How do you not stagger when you read these promises? By giving glory to God. And if you don't believe it, you don't give Him no praise, any glory. If you believe that you can improve on this life that Jesus gave you, it can grow, but it's got to grow in knowledge. Grace and knowledge. But a lot of people, they quote the grace, but they don't quote the knowledge. God can show you all the grace in the world. And until you start knowing this, you're not going to grow. He puts it out the same way to each of His children. Paul tells you that you've got to know this and believe this. And don't stagger at His promise. Now, He's given us bigger promises than Abraham. Are you staggering at them and not giving God the glory? That's exactly what you're doing. If you say, well, I'm not bride material. You staggered at His promise, huh? He could do it anything but that. He couldn't. He knew you want that when He told you that. That's looking at your own self. You're not giving Him the glory. You might think you are, but you're not giving Him the glory by not believing Him. It don't work like that. And He says, who are under the law. Of course, the Jew was given the law, but he already went through that. He went through the commandments, the Jews, the immoral and the moral, and the conscience and nature. One way or another, everybody sinned against what they knew, and that would be all that they would ever be judged for. Was sinning against what they knew. But that's enough. And that's why He says all this about everybody. And then He says, but every mouth. Not just the Jew. His mouth's going to be stopped. But that guy in South America that sinned against his conscience. He knew by creation, it says, there was a God. And I gave him a conscience that he knew when he went out and stole that spear from a guy that worked so hard for it and then stuck him with it. He knew. After a while, you'd think they don't know, but they started off to know. Is there anybody here that when you became your first conscience, you remember how it was when you said the first time, how horrible it was to sin against your conscience? It's a guilt. After a while, that was nothing. I've been there. I know that. Get so that you sin against it so much, you don't even think it's a sin. But the whole world, then he goes to everything that he's proved. And you're all guilty. It isn't before man, and therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified. It's in his sight. Everybody will be silenced in judgment. And everybody, Colossians tells us, will bow. And notice, to the Son, but it's to the glory of God. It isn't to the glory of the Son. It's to the glory of God. And they'll have to say, you did everything you could that I would not go here. Everything you, they'll have to see that perfect sacrifice and know way before the world that his plan was not to put them in hell, but to bring them to this wonderful place. And here they'll have to bow and say, and he is the perfect salvation, the perfect sacrifice. The Father, his love, way in eternity's past. With Adam, he didn't come in there to beat his brains out. He came in there to kill some animals and save him. And they will have to admit God did everything in his power to save them. So, by the law is only the knowledge of sin. The law never saved anybody before they were saved, or after they were saved. It only makes you know that you're more sinful. Let's stand.